taken from Lake Wenatchee or... What is it? Allow me to say that I put that picture up there and I've got no idea where I got it, but I like it. All right, today we're in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25, a promise of God. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Romans chapter 8. There it is. And we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25. Okay, let's read this. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I just got to let you know, I love this passage of Scripture. And I'm looking forward to this today. But. Our key idea today is one that many people struggle deeply with. And that is that delayed gratification is better than instant gratification, which I don't believe is true when it comes time to feed me. I want food now, right? None of this, I got to go. That's why they've got drive-thrus, right? And if I have to wait in the drive-thru line for three cars in front of me, that's why I drive a truck. They'll just get out the way, right? No. Even with food, delayed gratification is much better than instant gratification. I don't care if we're talking about food, you know, it's always better to eat the meat that is properly cooked versus just the raw pork. That causes problems. My children are on a sushi kick right now. I didn't realize they were that poor. You know, you can come over to our house if you need to cook your fish. But this has other benefits, you know, delayed gratification. It's always better that you learn a little bit about how to drive before you get behind the wheel. Amen? You know? It has real-world applications, like dealing with weight loss. Weight loss takes time. If you can't wait for it, if you can't do the work, you're going to be a real frustrated person, right? How about this? Waiting until after marriage. Yeah, I thought that one would go over real well. How about this? Get a job. That way you can get a paycheck at the end of the work week, right? A lot of people don't understand that. Delayed gratification is a huge part of our life, and especially as a believer. And as believers, we wait. We wait for the promise of God. And though at times it is difficult, and though as we're going to look at today, it is hard, waiting for the Lord brings us to the greatest gratification that we could ever have, to be in His presence. But anyways, delayed gratification is better than instant gratification. So, having said that, I want to talk about believers. Okay? So if you've got your Bibles open to Romans chapter 8, look at verse 1 and tell me if this statement is true. Believers are forgiven. True statement? Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because we've been forgiven, right? How about this? Believers are truly alive. That's from verse 10. Verse 10 says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Only Christians are truly alive. Or how about this one? We who are believers are co-heirs with Christ. We talked about that last week. That's in verse 17 where we read this. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him. Right? But believers are also, not to put too fine a point on it, we're targets. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because of your adversary, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom to devour. Anybody ever heard that one? Yeah. Not only are believers targets, but we are strangers. Hebrews 11:13, that's the great, I'm going to read that because I can't. These all died in the faith, not having received the thing promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in the earth, on the earth. And then, of course, believers are in a battle. We are struggling. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and spiritual beings. You see, being a Christian isn't an instant boost. A lot of people think of Christians and they think, oh, they've got their life put together. Everything's so great for a Christian, isn't it? No. I mean, there's great things for being a believer. You're forgiven, you're alive, you're a co-heir with Christ, but a lot of it is down the road. A lot of what we're going through as believers today are being targeted, struggling, having to deal with you know, different cultures. The Christian life, it's not always easy, but that's okay. We're going to talk about that. That's what we're talking about today. Because look at verse 18. Verse 18, and that's really the foundation, that's really the framework, that's what we're talking about today. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. And so I want to start off by talking about this present time, okay? And just let me say, if you haven't taken some time out this week to pray for the families of those that have lost loved ones this week in our aviation industry, you really should. It's just terrible what's happened this week. And that's just a small picture of the struggle that we go through every day. I mean, we don't always lose loved ones, but that, my heart's broken for those people. Totally unexpected, totally out of the ordinary. But quite honestly, nobody's life is easy. Nobody's life is without hardship. We think of there are people that are born into abject poverty. We think of those people that are born into adverse cultures or for whatever reason, they it looks like they've got it so bad. And that's tending for us to look down on others and realize that we're better off than they are. But if we can look down on people who are worse off than we are, guess what else we can do? We can look up and see people who are better off than we are, right? I have friends that you know, They weren't quite born with a silver spoon, but everything they touch turns to stinking gold. I mean, they just, it's like they can walk through raindrops, you know, and they're like, la, 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 la. You know, their life's perfect from my perspective. But if you sit down and talk to them, the angst that they carry, the work that they have to invest, the struggle that they face is very real to them. And they have that same perspective, that there's people worse off than them and there's people that's better off than them. And I don't care who you talk to on this planet, there's always somebody that they go, well, it's worse off for them and it's better off for them. It is an invariable truth that we look at people and we think either they're better off or they're worse off. But no life is easy. Every life is involving battle. Whether you're a believer, whether you're not a believer, whether you're a good guy, whether you're a bad guy, male, female, black, white, pink polka dotted or straight haired, I don't care. Life's not easy. In fact, look at this. Verse 19. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free. Look, the creation itself. Now, time out, theology break, okay? Sorry, put your seatbelts on, tighten them up, cinch them down, grab your neighbor and hold on. We're doing theology today. You... get mad. You are not a mammal. What you talking about, preacher boy? Now, if you can go think back all the way to high school, for some of us that was Tuesday, but for the rest of us that might be decades and decades ago. And you remember biology class? And they had the reptiles, which were what? Snakes and lizards and stuff. What do they call those? You know, you got plants, which are different than animals. And then if you break down the animals, you got like I said, the reptiles. You got the amphibians. You got snails. I don't know what they are. Way off on its own, it's like fungi. It's neither alive nor dead. It's neither plant nor animal. It's just evil. But then inside the animal kingdom, they have mammals. Mammals have hair, warm-blooded, they bear live births, right? You guys familiar with that? And if you look at, they say that we are closely related to, some of us are closely related to gorillas, others are closely related to monkeys. No, they say that we're Homo sapiens. You are not a mammal. You are distinct from the creation. Now, we are created, but we, as human beings, are different than the rest of all of creation. We fit over here. Now, we are very, 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 very like mammals. We share many of the same characteristics. As mammals, we have hair. As mammals, we have live births. As mammals, we're warm-blooded. We've got a spine. Some of us actually have a brain. You know, we feed our young milk, yada, yada, yada. But we are different than they, because we were created in the image of God. And we are set apart from the creation. And not just apart, but over the creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we read this. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. God created us in his image, and he set us above the creation with authority and responsibility over it. And our job was to take care of it. We were supposed to, you know, rake the leaves, prune the branches, make certain that, you know, things happen the way they were supposed to. How'd we do on that? Anybody? It says in Romans chapter 8 that the creation waits for eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That which God has put mankind over is waiting eagerly for us to be revealed as the promised caretakers. We were supposed to care over this creation. And what did we do? I know. We chose sin, right? Darn right we did. And because of that, because of the authority that God had over us, everything that we had authority over fell as well and was subjected to futility. Why? Why this week did two planes crash? Why? Why were the mistakes made that led to those deaths? Why is the world in such chaos? Why is there war? Why do my stinking dogs bark just when I go to sleep? You know? Why is evil so rampant? Why are things so difficult? How come when I just want to go down the road and it's suddenly icy and I'm now doing, you know, Swan Lake, spinning down the road? Because we've sinned. And all that we had authority over has been impacted by that. The creation waits for humanity to be the promised caretakers. And look what it says here. Where is it? Verse 23. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. You see, believers wait for the adoption. Pastor James, I thought you said when we got saved, we were adopted into Christ's family. Yes, I did. There's a difference between the ruling, the legal statement, and us being able to enjoy the benefits thereof, okay? You know, yeah, God has saved us, He has redeemed us, and once saved, always saved, and we are secure in that. But that doesn't mean that we get the full benefits of everything right now, okay? There's a process that goes on. And believers today are waiting eagerly for that to happen, for the redemption and for the release of the burden of sin, for us to be freed from this world and the struggle that it is. You see, no life is easy. Whether you're an amoeba, a whale, a human, a dog, because sin has just crushed what God created. And so we are, at this present time, waiting. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, sufferings, are not worth comparing the glory to be revealed. Now look, I want to point something out to you here. It says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, there's different ways that you can reveal something, right? As an artist, you can pull the tarp off and everybody can look at your masterpiece and they can ooh and they can ah, but they're not allowed to touch, right? You know? You ever done that? You little kid looking in the candy store? Ooh, mom, no, right? That's not the same thing. In the Greek, one of the definitions for revealed is to take the cover off, as in to serve it up. We're not restricted. God's cooking dinner. And when dinner's ready and it's served and everybody's ready, He's going to take the cover off. And what happens when mom takes the cover off? You get to do what? dig in and enjoy, right? See, when it says, for the glory that is to be revealed to us, it's not like we get to sit there and go, ooh, that looks so glorious and that looks so wonderful and that's just awesome. I wish I could be part of it. That's not the revelation that it's talking about. The revelation is as if God were to take us by the hand and lead us through it, showing us all of its glory and allowing us, sure, you can go climb that tree. Yes, absolutely. Go over there and run through the meadow. You know, yes, look, you can do this and you won't feel any sorrow, any sadness. It's just going to be glorious when it's revealed to us. It's not like we're going to be stumbling around in the dark wondering, I wonder what this is all about. No, God's going to reveal it to us. I don't know if I'm communicating it very well, but the idea is that glory is there. Keith Green, anybody? Anybody? I don't know about you. I'm loosely quoting Keith Green. But he said, I wonder how glorious heaven's going to be. Think about it. God created the world and everything in 7 days. But he's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. What a perspective. If God made everything in its beauty and its intricacy and its wonderfulness in 7 days, but he's been working on our heavenly home for 2,000 years. And then he's going to give us the guided tour through it. Okay. I really can't do it justice. So, turn to the Revelations, chapter 21 and then chapter 22. And I want you to read with me in here. When in God's words, he describes the glory that Paul has mentioned. In Revelation chapter 21, we're going to look at the first 5 verses. You know, John is being shown a vision of things that are to come. And he says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. God has to create a new heaven and a new earth. He has to dispose of the old one because of us, it's been corrupted by sin. But then he's going to reveal a new heaven and a new earth. And he's not going to be a God far off. He's not going to be a God that we can't visit or see or know. He is going to be God who lives with us. There will be no crying. There will be no more pain, no sorrow, no death. All of that will be gone. That's the glory that is to be revealed to us. That is the glory that is waiting for us. Chapter 22, the first 5 verses. Having seen this big picture, now there's going to be a little bit more focus on it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. There will be no need of a lamp or a light or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. My friends, when I read in Romans chapter 8, where he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul is not ignorant of the sufferings of this time. You and I live in America. Okay. Do you know how blessed we are compared to the rest of the world? I was blessed to go spend some time overseas and try and go shopping in some of the not America places. And you go into a grocery store and it's like, I'd like some soap. And they give you one type of soap that you can buy. I'm like, no, I prefer the other brand. This is the only thing they've got. And you're lucky because we got a shipment yesterday. Well, I'd like to get some of this. We don't have that. But what about, no. In America, we're blessed. I remember in COVID, remember the toilet paper shortage? Remember going into the grocery store and seeing the shelves empty? That's the way it is for the rest of the world all the time. We are blessed beyond understanding. Do you realize? Show of hands. Show of hands. All right, you ready? How many of you have a refrigerator in your house? Wow! I know. You guys are lucky. You guys live up in the woods. You've got a place to keep your stuff cold, but you know the difference between that. Refrigeration makes it easy. How about this? How many of you either own a car or have ridden in a car this week? Do you know that there are people in the world that haven't ridden in a car this year, this decade, ever? I would point out smartphones, but they're becoming ubiquitous. They're everywhere. But we are blessed, blessed, blessed. And yet, how many times have you had to put gas in the car? How many times have you had to, throw food out because the electricity died on you? Remember once we had this huge freezer full of meat up at the boys' ranch, and the power went out, and we just had to take it down to the lower field and throw it out. Now, the wild animals really liked it, and there was buzzards and stuff everywhere for a while, but we didn't have any food. I don't think we understand, like the Apostle Paul, who didn't have refrigeration, who was shipwrecked on more than one occasion, who was beaten to within the letter of the law, the maximum that you can be, who was literally stoned by his fellow Jews. This man, I'm certain, who later in life, and probably while he was writing this book, was crippled with rheumatism, who had suffered mightily in his body, who probably couldn't stand up straight and walk right, who definitely had a problem with his eye, because of his living for God. And the man who has suffered more than you and I could ever understand says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. I just want you to grasp the fact that God has a plan for us that is beyond our understanding. You and I, we struggle to get through. Doggone it, the pastor asked me if I'd read my Bible this week. How dare he, put that pressure on me? Do you believe that they actually ask us to come and help out around the church? Well, they don't. What do they expect of us? Our perspective is so wrong. Look at the promise of God. I promise that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy of being compared to the glory that is to be revealed to you and to me. Now, I want you to be encouraged by that, okay? But I also don't want you to forget this. For now, we groan, we wait, like all of creation. It is not, I don't care how easy your life is, you live in a fallen world, it ain't that easy. Okay, have you ever heard of first world struggles? There's still struggles. We still have to deal with hardship. We still have this inner realization that life is not the way it's supposed to be. We still struggle against it. And I've got a passage or two that I want to share with you just as we go out. In 1 Peter, we're going to start in chapter 1, and then we're going to end up in chapter 5. But in chapter 1, it says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How about we stop just for a second? I want to turn. Keep your finger in 1 Peter, okay? I'll find it. There it is. It says this: According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. That's 1 Peter, right? Remember what it said in Romans? For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We have been born into an eternal hope. We have been born again into a hope that God has promised us. But that's not today. You don't get to experience the good stuff yet. You got to eat your vegetables first, okay? Just throwing it out there. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Glory is coming. And it is our inheritance that God has given us because we're believers. And it's up there, and you don't have to worry about taxes. You don't have to worry about somebody stealing it. You don't have to worry about it coming out of style. I thought my kids would appreciate me hanging on to my high school jacket so that they could wear it. Really didn't like that idea, did they? Not my fault. Our inheritance will never go out of style. It will never perish. It will never diminish. It's kept in glory for us. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Keep that in mind. Believer, brother, sister, fellow member of the family of God, fellow journeyer on this ball of pain and suffering, as believers, God has promised us that we are being guarded through faith for the salvation promised us. Verse 6, in this you rejoice, though, to be honest, now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look, there is glory that is set apart, that is specifically created and is designed, and it's granted to us as an inheritance. And though we don't live in that experience today, by God, we are being guarded for it. Now, to be honest, we need God to watch over us because our life involves hardships. Wow. Nobody said amen. Probably because you're thinking of the hardship that you have to go through. But that's okay. Even in the worst day of your life, as a believer, God is watching over you, protecting you. Amen. Thank you. beg for one of those every now and then. The worst day of your life, the most tragic moment, as a believer, Jesus Christ is right there with you, protecting and watching over you, preserving for you the future hope and glory that He has set for you. Now, to be honest, you might have to go through hard days. When it says might, how about this? To be honest, as a believer, you're going to go through some really not fun adventures. You know, let's just go ahead and clarify that. Turn to chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 6 and we're going to read through verse 10. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He prowls around, sorry about that. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Look, it doesn't matter if you live in Asia, Africa, South America, North America, Europe, Madagascar, Australia, Washington State, in the Upper Valley. It doesn't matter where you live. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Everybody struggles in the Christian life. Guarded by God, set aside to be adopted as His son, promised an eternal glory that we can't even understand, for a little while, we struggle. Verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be glory forever. I guess as I'm reading Romans chapter 8, I've told you when we delved into this, I love this chapter. It speaks to me in my daily life. It is filled with hope and truth and encouragement. And today I want you to hear the encouragement. Look, you're going to experience hard times. Everybody suffers right now. And to be honest, the temptation is, God, where are you? Right? The answer to that is that He is walking with you. Let me clarify. If you're a Christian, if you've come to Him and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I recognize that you're God and that I have failed and I need you in my life. And forgive me and make me your son or daughter. Teach me, lead me, change my life. If you have done that, that doesn't mean that suddenly life is going to be easy. But what it means is that when you go through those trials, which everybody does, the Lord Himself will walk with you, protecting you, guarding over you, securing you, and preparing you for the glory that He is going to reveal to you as a reward at the end of our lives, which honestly we don't deserve, which honestly is more than we can understand. But my friends, I want you to hear me. I know you're going to suffer. I know you're going to face hardships. But by the word of God, I promise you, nothing you will endure today will cast a shadow. Nothing you suffer through right now will even be worth remembering when the Lord Himself reveals to you the glorious future that He has for you. So let us endure with patience and serve the Lord with gladness, keeping in mind that He is watching over us and He's promised us just an incredible future. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. I know at times, God, it's the truth of the matter is that we suffer. I know that the truth of the matter is that we live in a fallen world and we experience hardship. But great are you, God, and great are your promises. And I thank you and I give you praise. And all God's people said, Amen.